low win rates, excessive discounting, challenging negotiations. Welcome to the Sales Readiness Podcast, a podcast brought to you by the Sales Readiness Group. We're an industry-leading sales training company that helps businesses develop highly effective sales organizations. This podcast is about one question: how to transform your team into peak performers. If you want the answer, keep listening. If you want it faster, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.
And I have the pleasure today of being here with a bright mind in the sales world. Ray Makla, CEO of the Sales Readiness Group, is joining me to discuss the differences between selling skills and sales methodology. Ray, we have an audience that, believe it or not, is under 34, some as young as 18, so today, instead of saying welcome to the show, I'm going to say, Ray, welcome to the pod.
I like it. Very good. Thank you. Glad to be here. Glad to be part of the pod.
Okay, so let's jump right into the topic, starting with why do you think it's important for sales professionals and leaders to understand the difference between selling skills and sales methodology? Obviously, this came from, you know, search data. People are searching for this, and that's how we ended up selecting this as the topic today.
Well, I think it's a fantastic question, Alonzo. You know, what is the difference between a sales methodology and a selling skills program, and why does it matter? And it's one that I think often does get confused and those words get thrown around a lot. But we see it with our clients often where what we're trying to do is improve the performance of the sales team, right? So at the heart of it is, how do we get everybody working together, doing what we need to close deals and you know, servicing our clients? But there are a lot of different ways to do that. And the way I think of it is, a sales methodology is really more of a structure. It's more of that process from end to end. What stages and steps and activities do you have to do at each stage? But that can vary greatly depending on the complexity of the deal, depending on the type of the sale, how long the sales cycle is, and how large that deal is. And it should be adjusted, you know, based on what that particular opportunity requires. Where selling skills are more foundational, and they're really more focused on, do we know how to execute? You know, do we have the behaviors that it takes at each step to do our call planning, to ask those questions, to really understand the customer's need, you know, to be able to present our value proposition in the context of the customer? I think selling skills really cross a lot of and can overlay a lot of different methodologies. But oftentimes clients spend so much time focused on a methodology, but they don't realize that at the heart of it, their sales professionals don't really know how to sell or don't have the underlying skills they need to follow that process or to get the deal done.
Okay. So it looks like a methodology puts you in some sort of box that shapes how you sell, but how you sell requires skills. So one, it almost seems is like a subgroup of the other, where sales methodology is the umbrella of how you may want to shape up, and the skills is more like what you need, whatever, in whichever way you're selling, you're going to need those skills. Is that right, Ray?
I think that's accurate. Yeah. And you know, I think a sales methodology can be very important and very successful if people are following it. But what we often find is the methodology becomes too complex or too structured, or maybe doesn't really fit. So people kind of do what they want to anyway. Or we find that, you know, steps get stuck or skipped along the way. And so I think that's where it's really important to make that distinction and think about, well, what do we need to do really to understand the client and to position our product appropriately? And I think, you know, one of the things we're also seeing is sales needs to be more agile than it probably was in the past. So it's not just a cookie cutter approach that fits across every opportunity, because clients are coming in more informed. You know, they're doing their research on their own. We have more stakeholders involved. And sometimes, you know, it's not clear who all those personas or all those stakeholders are that are influencing that deal. So sometimes it's difficult to have a one size fits all when the opportunities and really the buyer's journey is changing, we need to have the skills to adapt as well as a process to follow.
People are feeling confused about the definitions of these two concepts, which is how they ended up thinking about the difference between the two. What do you think are some of the misconceptions about these two terms that maybe you have heard?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things we've heard and we've seen from clients is they think if they implement a methodology, it's going to fix everything. And as long as we have this structure, then, you know, we'll put it in place, we'll put it into our CRM, and everything will be great. And what they don't realize is, one, it's hard to change people's behaviors. And sometimes, again, if they don't have the underlying skills, the methodology is not going to get acted on or is not going to be executed in the way they might think. And so that's why there's a gap between those two. And, you know, I think we need to look at what the process and the methodology, that's a good way with a large sales organization, especially to create some repeatable processes, be able to have more visibility into the pipeline and how deals are progressing through because we're following this similar process and structure. But by the same token, we really need to be able to train them and have the skills to execute and to sell better. So I really think you need both, but it depends on the organization and the deal itself.
I love it. To make this crystal clear, I wanted to run an analogy by you and correct me if I'm wrong. So when I'm thinking now, as I'm hearing from you about the difference of methodology and skills, I am thinking in a coach and a soccer team, and the methodology is how this coach decides to position its players for that game, but that's not going to solve their losing strike if this is a reaction from that, because it may be that if they don't have the skills, like they don't know how to pass well, they don't know how to shoot well, take penalties and all these things, it doesn't matter how you position the players on that field, on that game, that day, you're still going to lose because you're not seeing the full picture. Is that right?
I think that's very accurate. Yeah. I would think of, you know, in the football or soccer world that the methodology, it's really more the style of play, right? And or in American football, it'd be more of the playbook that they're running, right? What is the actual approach to the game versus the skills are how is everyone executing? And, you know, we know across any athletic endeavor, the best performers are the ones who practice those fundamental skills. So they still go to the pitch or the driving range or the batting cage, and they practice those underlying skills, regardless of what the playbook is. And so I think that is a good analogy. A good way to think of it is it's a difference between the game plan and the skills that the players need to execute that game plan.
Okay, now let's dive into selling skills. Feel free to geek out here a little bit if you want, Ray. What's your definition of selling skills? And after you're done with that, what are the key skills that salespeople need to succeed?
Yeah, and that's where I think we do get to the underlying skills and competencies of what makes a top performer. And again, that's going to be a little bit different depending on the sales organization and the type of sales. So a very complex deal is going to require those skills to understand all of the different players and to map the account and to do a next level of research and to really build a strategy to approach that deal. Where, you know, if it's a one or two call close, maybe it's a very short sales cycle, what they need there is they need to really be able to grasp the customer's problem quickly, build that relationship, and be able to show how their product, you know, can support that individual challenge. So I think a lot of it is, you know, built around the sales conversation, that consultative conversation. But the skills from, you know, booking that first appointment, what are those outreach skills? What does that initial value proposition look like that gets the customer's attention through, you know, understanding what industry, what company, the underlying impact and influences are on that particular company. So when we do reach out, we have something relevant to say. So I think those are all, you know, that's a research skill. building the relationship is a skill of how do we do build trust and rapport. And then if we think about discovery, you know, it's not just knowing how to ask a few questions, but it's being curious and listening and really getting into the customer's mindset to say, okay, how can we help this customer? What's the underlying issue that we're trying to solve? And then being quiet long enough for the customer to actually think about, you know, intelligent responses to maybe get to the next level of understanding by asking the follow-up questions. So I think those are all skills that can be trained, as well as how we present our value proposition, you know, how we quantify the value that we're providing, how we clarify and respond to objections, you know, not just saying what we thought we heard, but really trying to understand what the customer's objection is about, what's underneath the surface there, and then how we negotiate and close. And those are all teachable, trainable skills and the underlying behaviors that we're looking to change by, you know, taking a sales professional through that type of a program.
Okay. That's a clear list, Ray. I hope our audience, as they listen to this, they're taking notes. Very useful stuff. Now I'm going to role play being one of our audience members, Ray, and I hear you. You're right. One day I got over-caffeinated. I got really excited about this book I was reading. Next thing you know, I am implementing a new sales methodology in my organization, and I told everybody that this is going to transform their lives. Once it came to be, I realized it wasn't as practical as I thought, and it was somehow too optimistic. And so your talk about the importance of practical skills that people need to, that they can actually apply on the job, is super important. Now, I want to know, because I want to follow best practices, what's the best way I can develop and improve the selling skills of my people? Obviously, there is coaching, there is training, but like, what is the best of the best right now? I want the best. And obviously, budget is not a limitation here. I just want results fast.
That's great. Well, I love you as a client when budget isn't an issue. So that's great. I think, you know, as you mentioned, that coaching and there are different ways to introduce the skills, and there are a lot of great training programs out there. I think in my mind, and, you know, some of the research with training industry and others supports this, is salespeople want to learn by doing. They want to learn by watching and observing and working with their peers, and they want to get feedback in real time. So I think one of the challenges with selling skills programs is, again, we get in a classroom, we talk about those skills I mentioned from the first meeting through closing, but either they're a generic scenario that they're applying it to, or they're expected to come out after 2 days of training and know how to do it. And so I think what's really important, and this really supports a methodology as well, is we need to put it in the context of that individual's day in the life. You know, how does this work for their particular clients, and have them apply it to specific scenarios that they're working on at that point of time. So let's not talk generically about call research. Let's research one of your clients and let's talk about the different areas. Let's develop those questions and the call objective that you're going to have for the very next call with that customer. So you're putting it in place, then we can come back and see if it's working. We can course correct, we can improve, we can coach from there. And I think that's one of the areas that another area that a methodology often breaks down is, conceptually it looks great on paper. It's a change management issue, right? It's getting people to change day in and day out how they are actually doing things and following those steps and executing. And, you know, that's hard. And so, you know, all too often, people just revert to what they were doing before or what they think makes sense. And so, you know, that methodology that we spent a lot of money on doesn't get executed the way we had hoped it would.
Ray, I'm getting a bad picture of sales methodology here. Do you think it's a waste of time?
Not the right methodology. I think the right methodology can be very valuable and can really help with, you know, the scalability, with consistency in the sales org, for ramping people up quicker. I mean, I think you have to have some level of methodology of even what are the stages that you're going to go through, right? What are those activities? I think oftentimes, though, the methodologies aren't a great fit for what's needed. And they tend to overcomplicate things to the point where you know, people are busy and they're trying to make more calls and they're trying to book more meetings. And the last thing they want to do is think about a conceptual framework or additional steps that are just taking their time away from, you know, being in front of the customer.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is there is occasions where selling skills and a sales methodology can complement really well with each other to the point that even the organization does better that with just one of them. Is that right?
I think that is the optimum, where the selling skill should support the methodology, where we should really do, you know, a mapping or have an awareness of what skills are required at each stage, and then teaching the methodology and the underlying selling skills, you know, that you need to get from start to finish. I think it's rare that happens. I think often the methodology is then left up to the poor sales manager to say, all right, go ahead and implement this, you know, tell us how it's going. Or at the same time, we have selling skills, but we don't have consistency in how they're being applied, or it's very difficult to get visibility into where opportunities are because we're not following the same steps or the same stages.
Okay. Now, I know you know this, Ray, because you have interacted with clients looking to support their current sales methodologies with our selling skills programs. And I want to honor this topic as much as I can. What are some of the most popular methodologies that are being used today, based on your perception? And not the most effective, just the most popular, because those are the ones that are going to bump, people are going to bump into each more often.
Sure. No, and I think there are some great methodologies out there. You know, certainly Challenger is still very popular, and it's a way of kind of thinking about how you're engaging. And approaching the client. I think things like MedPick that talk about, you know, how do you qualify the opportunity and work each stage through appropriately to get to an end game. And, you know, even something like spin selling, where it's really breaking that. Now, there's some skills there too, but breaking it down into, you know, what's the situation, the problem, the impact, and the need, and how do you work through. You know, that was one of the kind of original approaches. I think the best case is a methodology that's tailored to the organization and where there's time spent looking at, well, what's the right level, what's the right complexity, and how are we going to make this work? But oftentimes, either that's not, you know, possible to make those changes, or the time isn't taken to really do that alignment or that customization. And so there becomes a misalignment between, you know, what the methodology is trying to accomplish and where the organization is from an adoption perspective.
Okay, I'm going to go back to role-playing, being an audience member. Ray, you know what I'm hearing you say, that if I pick the right methodology and I support it with selling skills, that's like the best of the best that I can do because I'm picking everything. Now, I need your help. How do I even differentiate between all these sales methodologies that you are telling me about? Because I'm sure I'm going to bump into them and they're going to promise the world to me. Thank you, marketing. How do companies decide which methodology to adopt?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as you mentioned, a lot of times it is, you know, the leadership team sees an approach or a methodology that resonates with them. I think a lot of times, you know, they see their peers or other clients, organizations, using a certain methodology, and that seems popular. So, you know, everybody in tech is going one direction, or everybody in health sciences is using a certain approach. But I think what we need to ask is, okay, is that working? How tailored is it? You know, talking to people that are using those approaches. And I think, yeah, just doing research, looking at what's available, what's out there, and what the trade-offs are. And so, you know, it's not an apples to apples comparison. There's some very different reasons to have different approaches and different methodologies. I think that needs to be part of the research.
Okay. Now, there was one question that we have here prepared, which is an example of a time that you use or seen somebody use a sales methodology to close a sale. As I am hearing myself telling you this question, after learning, getting more insights about the definition, the difference between these two, I'm almost thinking of a sales methodology as a tool that helps you make your sales process more efficient, so maybe faster, require less work, but what ultimately is going to help you close the sale is the effectiveness of your selling skills. So when I hear this question, what is an example of a time you use a sales method? I'm thinking, probably it depends. If the person had a strong selling skills, whether they had a sales methodology or not, they probably, that's why they closed that sale. Now, could they have done it faster and skip a couple of steps with a different methodology? Maybe that would make it more efficient. But if they didn't have the selling skills, it didn't matter if they got to that final stage super fast. If they didn't have what he needs, the skills, they wouldn't close it. What do you think, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, I think and efficiency is certainly one measure, but effectiveness is what's most important. And so I think we do need both to support that. And, you know, I would say if there's that misalignment, you probably won't get to the end, right? They won't be doing the things to advance to the next stage. We'll get deals that are stuck in the middle. And we often see that where there's a bloated pipeline because they follow the stages. And then they're like, yeah, I'm really not sure if it's ready to move forward or not. And then it sits there until it either dies or the client finally decides to move forward. But I think that's a case where, you know, we're just not executing well. I'll say though, on the flip side, you know, I think if we can do an assessment of the skill level of the organization, understand the competencies and skills that are necessary to support that methodology, now you can do, you know, and maybe it's just point of need skills training, but let's make sure we're addressing those gaps where they are in support of that methodology. So we don't have that misalignment.
Okay, I'm going to throw one at you. This is a curveball. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm going to the batting cage.
In your whole career in sales training, as a leader of sales organizations, everything in your resume, have you ever seen or heard of a situation where a salesperson had strong selling skills, but they struggled because they didn't have a clear sales methodology?
So I think the top performers will find a way to make it work, right? So they're going to have the selling skills. They kind of have a vision of what needs to happen. They're going to do what it takes to close that deal. I think the middle performers and maybe the newer reps are where they really struggle because they don't have the stages or the steps. They're really not sure what to do next. So maybe they're great at asking questions, but they don't know how to qualify and get to that next meeting to present their solution. And it's not clear what's happening. So I think if you're running a sales organization, it's really critical that, you know, we do have those stages mapped out and we know what's next and what people are supposed to do. And I will say the best examples we've seen are where they're built into the CRM even. So each stage has clear definitions of what the inputs and the outputs are. What are we expecting the customer to do at each stage? So in other words, what's the evidence that it's ready to move forward? And then what are the skills required at that stage? So what are those underlying skills that a good sales professional needs to be able to advance that deal from discovery to demo or to sales presentation or whatever that next step is? So yeah, I think that's where they come together.
Okay. Well, we're entering a new, deeper level of understanding based on what I'm hearing from you about sales methodology. Because as I was hearing you speak about this, Ray, I was thinking of a bowling alley. And almost as if the sales methodology are the guard rails, I think that's what they're called, to make sure that the people that can throw the bowling ball, hit the cones without falling in the gutter, they need some guard rails. So in essence, you're saying that if you have a sales methodology, that will ensure that the new reps and the middle reps who still are not as skillful or they don't know exactly that those holes exist, they need some sort of protection to stay on track. So it's not only about efficiency, but it's about enforcing a process that can increase the odds of them succeeding.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. I think even, you know, for senior sellers, it's helpful to have those guidelines, having some structure to follow, you know, even if they're not throwing gutter balls, but at least we're in alignment with the direction and where we're headed. So yeah, I think that's where it can be very valuable, is to provide some of that consistency and structure that we're looking for.
Okay. So sales leaders, if you're listening to this and you don't want your reps to feel disoriented at any point in any stage of their careers, then a sales methodology will be helpful. But at the end, the skills are the thing that is going to help them eventually close that deal. Now, that's my takeaway from what you said, Ray. I want to move into wrapping this up. What advice would you have? Or how do you see the relationship between selling as skills and sales methodology evolving in the future?
Yeah, I mean, and this, to, you know, from a marketing perspective, won't be foreign to you, the idea of understanding the customer's journey that they're on, the buying journey. And I think the best methodologies, and when we're thinking about selling skills, take that into account. In other words, what are the stages from a customer even being open to a new idea or thinking about changing something to, you know, focusing in on their priorities, what their requirements, what's important, gaining knowledge about that, moving into an evaluation phase and ultimately making a decision. So, you know, I think we really need to look at where the customer is along that journey. What are the stages or steps we need? So what's that methodology to get us through? And then what are the skills, you know, that the reps need to execute? And so I think, to me, that's the biggest piece, is we need to make sure the methodology is really aligned with our customer's journey and is appropriate for the organization, not just because it's a flashy buzzword or there's a new book or somebody else did it, but, you know, what's really appropriate for us given our clients, our situation, our industry. And then do the alignment to make sure that it really fits, not that we're trying to force, you know, a square peg into a round hole because it seemed like a good idea.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Ray, for discussing with me this topic.
You too. Thanks for the conversation. I enjoyed the questions.
The market is changing, making sales skills more important than ever before. How to transform your team into peak performers? If you want the answer, plus free resources for podcast listeners, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.